Welcome, dear listeners, to a sacred journey through the pages of God's Word. I'm your guide in this adventure, Steve Kitts, and I'm truly grateful that you've joined me in another session of During Bible Study Podcast. Before we look closer into these verses that will illuminate your heart and your mind today, let us pause for a moment in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your precious Word, we look for your guidance and wisdom. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Illuminate the truth within each of these sacred pages. Bless all those that tune in today, that they may find solace, inspiration, and spiritual growth through what is shared and explored in your Word. In Jesus' holy name, we pray, and amen. We walk in bondage when we walk without Christ. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it is weak through the flesh, God sends his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteous of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are of the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwell in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, I used to think that I needed a personal trainer, someone that would get me into the gym to make sure that I exercise regularly, someone that would put me through the paces and track my progress and help me. If I just had a personal trainer, I thought I would be different. Then someone granted me a personal trainer for a week or two. Bob was my personal trainer and he was terrific. He got an exercise regimen, and I actually liked it. I looked forward to seeing Bob each week. He had a chart of all the different exercises that we did, and I liked the challenges for the weighting of my numbers to improve. Knowing I was going to go see Bob every week motivated me to get in the gym, but then there was no Bob. The gift of Bob ran out. The personal trainer spot ended, and you know how things work. Pretty soon, I wasn't going to the gym anymore. I kept the exercise charts for a while, and I'd even look at them. I didn't remember what exercises' names were even when I looked at them after a while. I thought, I'd do that again another day. And then my neighbor Tracy is a personal trainer. For her, spending 3 and 4 hours in the gym was glorious to her. I told her that I just finished a long walk. Did it feel great, she asked. I said, well, it was nice, but now my feet hurt, my knees hurt, my back hurts. I hate to admit it, but I suspect that the only way a steady exercise program is that if I have a personal trainer with me, if I had natural personal trainers at my beck and call like Bob or Tracy. Do you ever feel that way about your spiritual life? Christ is one who frees us from condemnation. I've been studying some of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a couple weeks ago, I started studying Romans 3. And we rejoice at the good news that we're made in the eyes of Christ. The teaching began to lead to Romans 8, 1 through 4. Sometimes we hear people say, look, I don't condemn you, meaning, who am I to judge you? Here the point is that God has every reason to condemn us, but He doesn't. He doesn't just look the other way, though. He's not just being big about it. He sent Jesus to die for our sins. He loves us that much. And that's why there's no condemnation there. Jesus was condemned for us. And when He died, He condemned the sin that was killing us. So when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are no longer condemned by sin. And we're no longer condemned to sin. Before Jesus, we couldn't sin. We was sin. Think about that. You think that knowing what our good and loving God wants for us to do or not to do, we would welcome the good news of loving one another. Why is that so impossibly hard for us to do? It's because of the sinful nature of the human flesh. In Romans 8 and 7, it says, the mind governed by the flesh, our sinful nature, is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it be so. It's wonderful news that Jesus forgives our sins and that there's now no condemnation for us. But another great privilege of our salvation is that we are no longer governed by the self-absorbed, disobedient nature. We have to put the flesh under submission. We have to submit it to God. We have to rule over it and not let it control us. Up to this point in Romans, Paul had only mentioned the Holy Spirit a couple of times. But now, in this chapter, he speaks of the Holy Spirit 18 different times. One of the diamond facets of God's good news in Jesus that we are saved from our sins, that the Holy Spirit enters into our lives to transform our thinking. A Christian life is step by step with the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. You will have to have a Holy Spirit mindset. To do it right, God tells us to be like Jesus. And Jesus referred to God for everything. Now, our mind, we think about things and say, you know, God doesn't just tell us to buckle down and do it. It doesn't start with willpower, which is wonderful news because most of us are not strong-willed people. The elders were talking about being the lighthouse to the lost and dying world. And one of the guys admitted that when he gets home from spending all day with people, he's very tired. He don't feel like even talking to his neighbors. Plus, he realizes that his neighbors hate him. We don't know why, but they just don't even talk to him. What should he do? He doesn't really know. He didn't know, but the Holy Spirit knew. Maybe the elder shouldn't even do anything. Maybe God was going to open up doors. Our friends can be in a sink with the thinking of God Himself until the steps become clear to us. To enable us to obey God out of love, the Holy Spirit gives us the capacity to think the way that He does. As Paul puts it, we have a mind of Christ. When I was a child, my mom, whose name was Lynn, would say to me, Steve Kitts, you better mind me. I suppose that phrase came from the idea that I'd better put my mind on the priorities on her mindset. My sinful nature consistently told me to mind me, mind myself. But the Holy Spirit within us, which is the voice of God's grace, says, you need to mind me. I'm your Lord and Master now. Which is great for us. And we saw in Romans 8, 6 through 7, that life oriented to a sinful nature is lethal. And verse 6 says, the mind of a sinful man is death. It's like having the brain and the heart of the grim reaper. What a wonderful alternative the Holy Spirit gives to us. He offers to meet our minds and blend it with His and God's. When we confer, we talk to Him and seek the ways of thinking and our direction, He enables us to think righteously. And then when we do good things and the right things, we will show that godly love. Paul wrote in Romans 12 and 2, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you have to be a mystic to set your mind on what the Spirit desires? Not really. You need to quietly pray and think your way through life. You could say, Lord, that really ticks me off. Now what do I do? And then you listen. Lord, I'm not sure how to handle my daughter's defiance or my son's defiance. What do you think? Then you listen. Lord, I hurt so bad and I don't know what to do or think. Please help me and keep me from sinning. Then listen and trust God. The Spirit will talk to you through the Bible, through other Christian counseling and examples, through the memory of what to do and what you already know. God uses you if you let Him. Be usable by God. That's always in my prayer and in my messages. Be usable. Be available for God to use you, and He will. Our instincts will reshape our lives and be reshaped by the Holy Spirit so that you will think righteously if you'll let it. When you think righteously, then you'll act righteously. I know during this, some of you have been thinking of illustrations because you're Trekkies. That's fans of Star Trek. I'm not a Trekkie, but I do my research, and I know a lot about Dr. Spock's extraordinary capacity to do a mind melt. He would put his fingers on a person's head just the right way and concentrate and murmur something like, my mind to your mind, your thoughts are my thoughts. As images as it was, God's way is so much more wonderful and powerful. God Himself, by His Holy Spirit, enters into our hearts and our minds, and we are in a loving relationship with Him. Out of our fellowship with Him, our meeting of the minds, our prayers and the reading of the Bible, even through fellowship with other believers, and simply by being thoughtful and usable, our minds are transformed away from all that deadening to us, our thinking and obedience that produces God's own life and peace in us. We need a mind governed by the Spirit that's full of life and peace. Now, we saw the alternatives to the mind governed by the Spirit. The alternatives are death, hostility against God, and the ability to submit to God. Think of what these things are and how they affect your mind and your heart. They are death to you. They are turmoil. There's a huge lie that says sin is satisfying, that greed is good, that sex outside the marriage is fun and normal, that everyone lies now and then, and that evil is entertaining and you have to take care of yourself. Now, how's that all working out for us? Not good at all, I don't think. What does that do to the soul created in the image of God and the mind created by God for nobility and love? Disobeying God kills us inwardly and physically. It unsettles us, confuses us, and even darkens everything around us. It creates a moral stupidity. People quite simply disintegrate. They become part of a spiritual drop-off. When our relationship with God through the Holy Spirit enables us to adopt our mindset as a spiritual as we deal with life, this verse is so powerful. It promises life and peace. You see, Christ's life is in us by His Holy Spirit, and it rejuvenates us and brings us, even in terrible circumstances, to a quiet place of peace with God and His love for us. I have a Bible, and the verse that's underlined in black is dated next to it, September 25th, 1986. I remember that the time of great despair over my sin, and a time when I felt the weight, like Paul cried out, O wretched man that I am. I remember coming upon this verse and reading it over and over until I believed it. And I focused my mind again on the Holy Spirit and found that life and peace. That's how it works again and again, as Christ's life and peace works deeper and deeper into our lives if we allow it. The Holy Spirit will give life to your mortal body. Even while God is renewing our minds, our bodies are dying. The Holy Spirit living with inside of us, also the forces that raised Jesus up on Easter morning, on that third day, the Holy Spirit rose Jesus. So when our bodies die, it's that same Spirit that flexes His muscles and breathes His breath into our mortal bodies that come forth from that grave, clothed with immorality. You see, I think we're just full of the Holy Spirit and with the power of Christ inside of us, and that we don't allow it to work as much as it could. What will make our body so glorious is not that we will become superheroes with x-ray vision and superhuman strength or ability to leap tall buildings. Those things may be true, I don't know, but they pale in significance to the fact that our bodies will be free from sin and sickness, and that our bodies will be fit for an eternal life. We will be changed and transformed into beings just like Jesus Christ is. We'll be just like Him, with bodies that will be able to see Him. Right now, they said, you know, you can't look on God and live. That's how come He covered up Moses' vision. Moses only seen His backside. So you can't look on God and live until we get the new body that can live forever. I've talked about this before. Even the people going to hell will get a new body, because the body they have now would be burn up and die forever. But they'll get a body that will be able to hold that torment and destruction that they're going to be facing for eternity. So we're all going to be changed and transformed in the twinkle of an eye. Back to our story. Our minds will be unhindered by the lies and the lunacies of this world. Our hands will only serve the Lord. Our eyes will be worthy of holy sight, and our ears will be able to bear the hymns that are sung in heaven. Our tongues will speak only of blessings, and our hearts will be so clean and big enough to love like God. Not only does the Holy Spirit bring our mind to life in the Lord, but He will also be the one that helps resurrect our body when God says to Jesus, "Go get your people." We'll be called up. And the only way to be called up is to have something for Jesus to call out to. And that's the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. That's my thoughts. You can have other thoughts on it, but I don't read it in the Bible, but just feel it in my heart. So you can take that the way you want. On one hand, we no longer face condemnation for our sin. But on the other hand, we do have an obligation and a debt. We're no longer indebted to death, but into the spirit's life. We do not live a debtors to sin. Our sin for nature is like a loan shark inside of us. There's part of you that is a goon threatening to break your kneecaps if you don't pay up. But you don't have to do what that human flesh wants, the body. We have a spiritual mindset that we can overcome that with. And you need to know the difference between the voices speaking to you. A temptation arises that has always been there. Or, you know, the enemy will use what's been there before. And you don't have to submit yourself to that lie. So, in conclusion, the part of a Christian's life is killing the sinful practices that spring up from within. We're our own worst enemy. We can cause a separation between our faith with God and what we're doing in our life. You need to take sin seriously in your life. We talked about this the other day in Bible study about when you get brand new white sneakers and you go to school and then you look down and you notice you got a black mark. Somebody scuffed up your sneakers. They're brand new, they look good, and you want them to stay that way. They're clean and they're pure. What's the first thing you do? You remove that black mark with anything that you can. You try to restore those shoes back to the proper brightness and the salvation that glorious it was. And that's what you need to do with your Christian life. If you notice there's a black mark or a sin that's there, remove it. Call out to God. Be part of His solution. You know, come to Him. Be honest with Him. He knows it all anyways. There's no reason for you to beat around the bush or, you know, talking different riddles and poetry to Him, going, "Well, I don't know who did this, but it happened in my life." Be honest with God and tell Him that you was tempted and you failed, and He will restore you. He wants you to be good. He wants you to be part of His family and be usable by Him. That's my message. We are blessed. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us. And that's what I need you to get out of this. We're not walking this Christian walk alone. We have a comforter that's come to help us. be one with the Lord and pray often. All right, we'll close in a prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord, that you can use this the way you want. You can put it into the lives of people that you could touch and work the most with, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us, and we give you the honor and the glory. We lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take a minute to talk to you about Buzzsprout. Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new market or a channel, may I suggest that you share your thoughts and your ideas with the world. And it's just so fun to have a talk show. Podcasting is very easy, inexpensive, and a fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many more within minutes of finishing each recording. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners. And a team that they have at Buzzsprout is passionate in helping you succeed. They want you to succeed. Join with over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's go ahead and create something together. God bless you.